Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Rookie running back, show the way. Let's do a week 4 fantasy football podcast in advance of completing week 4, the Monday night games to come after this broadcast. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recording at 1 p.m. on Monday, September 29th. So there will be nothing in here involving Jets, Dolphins, Bengals, Broncos, but let's review everything else from the Thursday and full day Sunday, which included our first morning game, very early morning game for those of you on the West Coast of the United States, as the international games kick in with Pittsburgh defeating Minnesota. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. I met some friends for the first half of the Thursday night game this past weekend at the Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa. It was great to see Lizzie. Congratulations to Lizzie on another appearance in the 2026 Hooters calendar. She works at that location, and we received great service from Maddie on Thursday night as well. The Hillsborough location, one of those you can find out information on by going to originalhooters.com for details on all their locations under the Original Hooters brand in the greater Tampa Bay area. Hours of operation, easy online ordering. Thanks to Hooters for keeping the Fantasy Football Podcast going. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group for supporting everything I do, Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, and the Todd Wright Toddcast as well. For non-fantasy content, please find the Todd Wright Toddcast. We talk a lot of football. And in advance of Ryder Cup this past weekend, I got out in front of that by saying, I watch none of it because I don't find it significant. And it's not the team event that real golf fans want to see going forward. That would be Tiger leading the PGA Tour versus Phil leading a team of LIV golfers. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. 813-902-3576 for a free consult, or visit brandonlegalgroup.com to request that free consult. Full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. My email for your fantasy questions, or just in general, your football thoughts. We also talk college football on the Todd Wright Toddcast. Wright.todd@yahoo.com, Wright.todd@yahoo.com. Another domino fell in college football. All 4 of the power conferences now have a firing before October. The SEC dumped the Arkansas head coach was dumped. I thought they'd just let him play out the season. That's not the case. Presumably, go ahead and open the door so you can officially kind of clear the way for what many presume to be the next destination for former University of Miami offensive coordinator and current successful head coach at SMU, Rhett Lashley. We'll talk about that on the Todd Wright Toddcast. Ashton Genty and Omarion Hampton, independent of the Monday night week 4 games, tops in rushing yardage for week 4 across the board. So while rookie running backs got off to a very slow start this year, you have 2 of them, likely the top 2 drafted in fantasy drafts, 1 and 2 in terms of yardage, independent of the Monday night week 4 games. Genty, 138 on the ground on 21 carries. He had 1 rushing touchdown in addition to 2 receiving touchdowns on 2 receptions. It was because of Ashton Jeanty that I fall from the ranks of the unbeaten in our 12-team league, the Battle of the Network Stars, as Zach Morris takes down J.R. Ewing thanks to Ashton Jeanty. Jeanty also had one of those explosive plays that were billed as the comparisons between him and Saquon Barkley were that Jeanty could pull off these 20, 40, 60-yard plays. He had a 64-yard play in week four. While those of you who drafted Jeanty obviously are pleased, I would caution you that this is a turning point. It's good. It probably helped you win a week, just like it did my opponent, Zach Morris, Rob Cabala, in the Battle of the Network Stars. Consider the opponent. We're almost at that point where we can analogize. Much like quarterbacks can get right against the Cowboys defense, and you saw this with Jordan Love in the 40-40 tie on Sunday night. Those who run the ball get right against the Bears defense. That's Dennis Allen, brought in by Ben Johnson, with Ben Johnson's new staff in Chicago, the failed head coach and former defensive play caller for the New Orleans Saints. You can just go week by week, even though the Bears are 2-2. Yeah, they're 2-2. And it doesn't look great. You're not going to get many people, especially Bears fans, saying, oh yeah, we're a playoff contender. It's almost like they have a losing record at 2-2. They have allowed virtually everybody other than Aaron Jones to run on them, and that includes J.J. McCarthy. Jordan Mason had a productive game. Both Lions running backs had productive games off the Lions' disaster in week one, even in a win over the Cowboys. Javonte Williams averaged about 7 yards per carry. He just didn't get enough carries because of game script. That's also a fault of Brian Schottenheimer not using him more to maybe keep the Bears' offense off the field. And in week four, Jeanty goes off against the Bears for a huge fantasy game. So I would say this, until further notice, this is more directly related to the Bears than it is to Jeanty. And if you're trying to get ahead of things as far as, well, what running back do the Bears get right next? They have a bye in week five. I'll play along with you a little bit. After that, it's Washington, which Chris Rodriguez has kind of emerged as that guy. Granted, the last two games have been quarterbacked by Mariota. Then New Orleans, we assume Kamara will still be there. We assume. Not catching passes, is he? Then Baltimore, then Cincinnati. If it takes week nine for a Chase Brown breakout, that hurts for those of you that drafted Chase Brown to be an RB1 or RB2. And then the Giants in week 10. So that's a look ahead at who the Bears have, but it's a bye week for week five. On to Omarion Hampton, second strong performance in a row for the rookie running back for the Chargers, albeit in a loss. Much like the Raiders found a way to lose to the Bears, the Chargers lose their first to the Giants. Omarion Hampton, though, 12 carries, 128 yards, so averaged over 10 yards per carry, including a long gain of 54 and a touchdown. The other two running backs who broke 100 yards rushing, ETN does it again as the Jags go to San Francisco and hold off the Niners. ETN 19 for 124 and a touchdown, as the only true defined fantasy guy right now for the Jags is ETN. It's tough to make sense of anyone in their passing game. Perhaps this is all connected to Trevor Lawrence. But the consistent use of ETN merits him being in your lineup. For those of you who probably didn't even draft him to be a starter, you got one through the first 4 weeks. And then James Cook. Again, James Cook produces. He carries it 22 times for 117 yards, no carry longer than 15 yards. Did not have a rushing touchdown, but still makes an impact. I'm sorry, he did have a rushing touchdown. I was looking at the fumble category, much like ETN had a touchdown. Cook gets it done as the Bills win with a bit of a challenge from the New Orleans Saints, while they never looked in true danger of losing to the Saints. We should mention Kenneth Gainwell and his 19 for 99 and two scores in the Steelers win overseas. For some, it was a surprise inactive that Jaylen Warren didn't go in that game, who had, as we talked about on a previous podcast about red zone usage, that was Pittsburgh's guy. No Warren, kind of nowhere else to turn. They go to Gainwell, and this is just a solid veteran football player who coaches can trust. The Eagles did for a long time, and now Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith trust him too. 19 carries, 99 yards, two touchdowns, and I doubt many, I didn't look at the actual numbers, many had him in their starting lineup, let alone being rostered, and a lot of that probably was last minute after the Jaylen Warren inactive. Steelers off next week, so that's more time for Warren to get healthy. But it's more of just what a good player Kenneth Gainwell is to have on a 53-man roster, and how it's defined his career. So those are the first five. Big Sunday night for Josh Jacobs. 22 carries, 86 yards, two touchdowns, despite either never or only on one play touching the ball in overtime. Kind of a James Cook thing there, knowing he was dealing with a cut or something just below his knee late in the game. And special mention to Quinshon Judkins of Cleveland, which, kind of like Jacksonville, you can't make sense of anything in their passing game. But despite the fact he was the last guy signed from the NFL draft, Judkins comes in. And he's getting the ball, and he's producing, even in losses. The game script doesn't say you lose by 24 and your number one running back gets it 21 times. But Cleveland's just, they're not a good team. All they have is a run defense and Judkins. That's kind of it. This is the same team that this year has already had six different quarterbacks in the facility. And my feeling and most is they don't have a franchise quarterback. He's not on the roster until next year, presumably with how they use those two number one picks. One they got from Jacksonville for Travis Hunter and their own, that they get their franchise quarterback next year. And I don't think it's Arch Manning, because I don't think the Manning family has any interest in Arch being a Cleveland Brown. But Judkins' performance and the touchdown, and of his 21 carries, the longest game was 11 yards. But credit to Matthew Berry and others who said all along throughout the holdout, Judkins was worth rostering and stashing. That the minute he got in camp, they were going to use him. They have. And much as Judkins is to Cleveland, Etienne is to Jacksonville. Four running backs with 100-yard rushing games, 10 pass catchers with 100-yard receiving games. Two of those were running backs. This, independent of the Monday night games, let's review those. Puka Nacua. For those that invested in him, you have gotten more than you asked for. And you're just hoping he can stay on the field, right? If he comes out for a play or a series here or there, that's fine. But the problem with Nacua is he just doesn't stay healthy because of how hard he plays. But the Rams get him 13 receptions, 170 yards, and a touchdown, a long of 31. And you could make the argument that he's the or one of the best players the first 4 weeks of fantasy football. I'll just even, let's see how quickly I can do this. In looking up, sadly, I don't own him. I mean, it was the injury history that scared me away. As much as I love McVay and the Rams offense, you know, I'm big on Kyron Williams and didn't draft Davante Adams. It just, the draft didn't work out, where every time I was thinking of drafting him, I was like, this is too early. And then by the time I thought I could get him, he was already off the board. So Nakua's first four games, 10 for 130, 8 for 91, 11 for 112, 13 for 170. Week four was his first rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown on a 45-yard run in week two. So Nacua has done this with only two touchdowns. But the volume, and week four he didn't have a rushing attempt. But basically, as a receiver, he's touching the ball on average 10 times a game. And the Rams are just going to continue to feed him. It's just a matter of, can Davante Adams and other people on the Rams convince Nacua to start doing some things like that Mike Evans does or has done most of his career? Get down, get out of bounds, run away from people. You don't always have to embrace contact. But Nacua has been phenomenal. George Pickens, in the absence of CeeDee Lamb in the 40-40 tie, 8 receptions, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. Remember, he's basically in a prove-it year. When Pittsburgh moved him to Dallas, Pickens did not ask for a contract extension. That's going to come. And Dallas probably can't afford to do it. So Pickens is playing for his future. And Sunday night was really good in a featured role with Dak Prescott performing well early in the season. 8 for 134 and 2 touchdowns. So for those of you that felt with Lamb out, moving Pickens into your starting lineup was the right move. You were correct. Justin Jefferson early morning, 10 for 126, no touchdowns, but 10 for 126 in game two with Carson Wentz. DK Metcalf, amidst some conversation through a few weeks, why isn't there more here? Why aren't the separation numbers better? Is Metcalf playing home games on grass worse for him than playing games on turf, home games in Seattle? Metcalf, 5 for 126. Granted, he had an 80-yard longest game, so that was most of it, but he does score as the Steelers are 3-1. And the Steelers could be 5-1. They're too clear of Baltimore, who can't stop anybody. And this is one of those, we'll talk about this on the Todd Wright Toddcast, about how much of an early season opinion do we have. You know, like the Colts are two games clear of the Texans. The Steelers are two games clear of the Ravens. We've got 13 games to go. So what do we read into it? You know, the Falcons beat the Bucs head-to-head twice, and the Bucs won the division last year. But we know the Steelers are going to win 9, right? With this early start, with what they have going, is 10 going to be enough? And they don't play the Ravens head-to-head until like the last month of the season. They play both of those games. And we don't know about the injury status of Lamar Jackson, who looked like he pulled himself out of that game against Kansas City on Sunday. Jordan Addison, welcome back. He was ready to go. I plugged and played him in one of my three leagues, a league where we use a lot of players. And Addison was very good. He had an 81-yard non-scoring play, 4 catches for 114. Kind of amazing the Vikings lose a game where Jordan Mason is good. Justin Jefferson's 10 for 126. Addison is 4 for 114. But Pittsburgh still wins. And how about how that game, early Sunday morning, had the number 3, number 4, and number 5 wide receivers, and the number 5 running back, all in that game. Drake London, despite Michael Penix and his horrible mechanics, off a week where Raheem Morris fires a respected wide receiver coach after 3 weeks, after the shutout to Carolina, London has his best game. 8 for 110 and a touchdown as the Falcons beat Mariota's Commodores, barring the Gil Alexander term for his hometown team. Bijan Robinson caught 4 for 106 to supplement what he did on the ground. He had a big game. Bucky Irving, more impactful in the passing game, still struggling in red zone rushes. But he busted off one of two huge passing touchdowns that got the Bucs back in it against the Eagles. Irving, 5 catches for 102 and a touchdown. He had another fumble, but his touchdown was 72 yards. Stephon Diggs in the Vrabel's route of Carolina that got so bad, Drake May got to sit part of the fourth quarter. And it's not like May doesn't need work. Josh Dobbs came in. Diggs 6 for 101, no scores. And the other 100-yard game is your offensive rookie of the year, Emeka Ebuka. No Mike Evans, return of Chris Godwin. Ebuka 4 for 101, including a 77-yard touchdown. Also, quick note on Christian McCaffrey, who comes up 13th going into the Monday night games in receiving yards, 92, a touchdown, and 6 receptions. Say this about McCaffrey. He's already over 200 yards rushing and 200 yards receiving through 4 games. So those concerns that some of you had, and I understand scar tissue. McCaffrey fell to me in one of my leagues at the 15th pick, and I said, I have to take him. The only reason you didn't was because of scar tissue or injury history, and there doesn't appear to be anything wrong, even though the explosive runs or the ability to cash in on the red zone rushing attempts isn't there early. But he's on a pace to get near 2,000 yards total offense through four games. So there's the top people. Also, I'll just highlight Xavier Worthy's return was better than I thought. Despite, I think he was wearing the shoulder brace, he was heavily involved, and the Chiefs felt good about what he did, how much they used him, how they used him in their blowout win against the Ravens. That's a very good sign going forward for the Chiefs and for those who own Xavier Worthy, concerned that that early shoulder injury on the collision with Kelce would derail him this season. It didn't look like it against Baltimore. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Send me your fantasy success stories, your fantasy failures, especially looking ahead to week five where we get into the buys for the first time. I've already acknowledged a couple of bye weeks this week. Chicago is off. Pittsburgh is off. The other two, if you haven't looked ahead, Green Bay is off. So I have no Josh Jacobs in any of my leagues this week. And the Falcons are off. So if you have Bijan Robinson, Drake London, you've been getting great production from Roma Dunze, Josh Jacobs, and if you were thinking about grabbing Kenneth Gainwell, that's not going to help you this week. You will be affected by week five buys. Also, we're on watch for two things maybe in pro football this week that would be transactional. One, could the Titans fire their head coach? Is there any reason for him to continue? He gave up play calling prior to week four, and now they didn't even score a point. Is getting him out of the building better for Cam Ward now? Because nothing is being accomplished. And you go back to, what was it, during training camp, when Cam Ward was asked, you know, how do you feel about, you know, the offense and the system? And he said, it's mid. Was that Cam Ward just being nice that this system stinks and it doesn't do enough and he can't do enough in it? Remember, Urban Meyer was with Trevor Lawrence for 13 games. Nothing good came of that. Would the Titans be better off cutting ties with someone who is holding back Cam Ward, or you know, teaching him the wrong things, or not teaching him anything at all through four games? The other is DJ Moore doesn't seem to fit Ben Johnson's offense. I don't know that DeAndre Swift does either, or maybe it's just the Bears did spend money on the offensive line, but one player in particular was coming off a really bad year. Was the money not spent properly? That happens. Ask any fan of the New York Mets. Some things. Look, it's going to take Ben Johnson a while to get things where he wants to get them. But DJ Moore just doesn't look like he fits that offense. And this, we're going to use him, you know, in different ways, give him that Debo look and get him out in open space on screens. Why can't you use him downfield? Why can't you use him in normal wide receiver routes? Beyond Adunze, is Burden getting more of that work than DJ Moore? He has a guaranteed salary in next year of over $23 million. So a bye week would be a good time to move that player and that salary if it's just more trouble than it's worth to figure out how to use them. Some suggest Seattle. virtually everyone thinks Kansas City needs wide receiver help. Although watching the Chiefs the other day, Worthy's return, we're what, 3 weeks away from Rashee Rice. Tyquan Thornton caught one ball, but it was a touchdown. Juju is still involved. Do they have enough? Or would the Chiefs still embrace bringing somebody in? I still think Houston needs to bring somebody in. Just beating the Titans doesn't make you right. Just two good games from Nico Collins. You are getting something now from Woody Marks. Makes it look better. There are teams that need receivers. Seattle has been talked about. So maybe some a coaching move, a receiver trade, as it relates to a couple of teams this week. We'll see. And if so, we'll talk about it in the Todd Wright Toddcast or in the next edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Remember, my email is always there for you at write.todd@yahoo.com.